All right, everybody gets a chance to catch their breath now. Welcome back to the morning show. If you're a college football fan, ahead of bowl season, coming up this weekend, Army-Navy, and, of course, the Heisman, college football notebook brought to you by Dixie Vodka, the Southern Tailgate. If you're headed off to Kennesaw State Saturday afternoon for Kennesaw State and South Dakota State, not complete without Dixie Vodka. Visit DixieVodka.com. Dixie Vodka, made in America, and by God, it's raised in the South. I might need some Dixie Vodka today at about 10:30.
10:30?
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about in the morning?
Yep.
Okay, I was about to say, why wait?
Because I got to go shopping today.
Oh, so you're going to get drunk and then go shopping. That probably won't be a good move. Because that means you're going to spend more money than you anticipated.
I hate going to the mall so much.
So why? Again, John.
No.
Why are you going?
The mall is like
going. No, why are you going? I feel like I'm in Groundhog's Day.
Wait, hang on, though. But understand what it's like for me, okay? But you have to understand. For me, going to the mall is like, it's like Dawn of the Dead. I'm like looking for Burt Reynolds to shoot or something, you know?
Didn't we have this conversation? Why are you going to the mall, John? What is at the mall that you have to get that's not on Amazon or eBay or one of those other sites? What's the Etsy or Zulily or whatever they call them sites where you go shopping on? Finger Hut. Finger Hut was a big one back in the day because I know my mom used to shop on Finger Hut all the time. Finger Hut, what's wrong? What you got to go to the mall for? What you need at the mall?
Because the Maven wants me to help her pick out stuff for her folks.
For her what?
For her parents.
You know what? This is the one time.
My mother-in-law is coming for Christmas.
John, try this on for size.
Right.
One time. Mm-hmm. Look here, woman. I've been working all day. I ain't got time to be running to the mall with you in this traffic. Go by yourself. They ain't my parents. They're your parents. Try that.
Well, what she said was, you can help me. If you want to help me, then you have to understand context here. She said to me the day before yesterday, and she reiterated it yesterday, I'm going to the mall to shop for my parents because my mom and my mother-in-law is coming into town for Christmas, and you could go with me if you would like.
So what's the problem?
That's your out.
That's your out right there.
If you'd like.
John, you being
that is
soft,
not an
man.
Out. That is not enough. That is not enough.
He being soft. That's an out.
That's not an out.
You take that.
That is not enough.
You take that.
If we weren't in the A block, then I would tell you why. But we're in the A block, so let's keep it moving.
She gave you a layup, John.
She really did.
But John, don't listen to Hugh.
Yeah.
No, sometimes, hey, listen. Every now and then, you have to establish the fact that you are the paterfamilias. Mm-hmm. You are the head of the household. Mm-hmm. Now, there might be some pushback when you do this. So you have to be strategic in the way that you do this. Uh-huh. But every now and then, you got to test the waters, John. You ain't been testing the waters enough, man. As a friend, you ain't been testing the waters. You ain't been testing the waters enough. You know, you're right. We're going to write that down. We're going to get back into this later on. We're going to get back into this later.
It is college football. And one of the interesting things with this, you know, plethora of bowl games, because apparently plethora is a word that, or plethora, depending on how you want to pronounce it.
Now we have to tell the story. You can't just throw that out there without telling the story.
It's a plethora.
I am watching ESPN's The Jump yesterday, and I'm working on our rundown, and I'm not really looking at the TV. Paul Pierce is on with Rachel Nichols and I forget whoever the other guest was. Anyway, he decides to describe some players from another team. I don't remember the team, but he goes, they have a plethora of talent. And I was like, what? What did you just say? Plethora? I said, don't you mean plethora?
You know, I just saw that on a T-shirt, and I was like, why is this word jumping out at me? And that's what it was. That's what it was, because you know how you had the television on, and it's like, because I was just sitting here, and I was like, plethora, plethora, plethora. And I was like, this word has been on my mind a lot lately, and I was wondering, so that's what it was,
now, granted, Paul Pierce. I don't like Paul Pierce because he played for the Celtics, and the Hawks going up against the Celtics, blah, 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 blah. He's a very entertaining guy on these ESPN NBA shows, but yesterday it took the cake. I was like, come on, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, since we have a glut of bowl games, it used to be where you would have the end of the regular season somewhere around Thanksgiving in the days before the conference title games, and you wouldn't have another college football game for about 3 weeks. I mean, you just wouldn't. It would be this early December kind of break for everybody to go to finals and whatnot for all the athletes. That does not exist anymore. You have the FCS playoffs, as mentioned, Kennesaw State playing tomorrow at home in the Elite Eight. You also have all these other levels of playoffs, whether it's Division II, III, NAIA, and I know we have a lot of schools going through all of these playoffs in the area. You also have the Heisman tomorrow, and that'll lead you right into the next week where bowl games start. So there's no downtime here in the college football calendar anymore. As to the Heisman on Saturday night, which is an 8 o'clock start, and I don't know how many people are looking forward to this. I won't even be watching. I'll be at I'll be at Atlanta United. I mean, this will be one of the first years I've missed the Heisman, but I don't really even care. I mean, Tua's going to win, right?
So you're not going to watch it at all?
No, because I'm going to be at the soccer game.
No, because what was Tua has a strong chance to win. I think he's going to win. But the guy from the Oklahoma quarterback, Kyler Murray.
Mm-hmm.
Kyler Murray won the Maxwell, correct? And is it the Maxwell? Some people
no,
feel.
No, he was the AP college player.
The AP college player. Yes. But who won the Maxwell last night? Tua.
Yeah, Tua.
Okay, yeah, that's so I had him mixed up. But right. Usually the person that wins the Maxwell usually wins the Heisman.
Yes. More like 15 out of 16 times the person. The Maxwell is essentially another version. There were two awards back in the day, the Maxwell in Philadelphia with a football club there, and then the Heisman in New York with the athletic club there, and they competed to be the big trophy, and for whatever reason, I don't know what it is, the Heisman became, probably because it was in New York, it became the big award. But yes, usually if you win the Maxwell, you do win the Heisman, and Tua did win the Maxwell. So I expect that even with this late push for Kyler Murray, that Tua is going to end up winning the Heisman. As a matter of fact, at this point, Hugh, I'd be shocked if he didn't.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, you know, you saw him out there last night, and, you know, he had his little boot on. He had the boot knee on. And you're thinking, and that's what I remembered about that award, is that usually they go hand in hand. And that doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to happen. But Kyler Murray has put, you know, he's got a lot of people thinking that he has a legitimate shot. It's going to be interesting to see at the end of the show, because I'm not going to tune in to about none of that Heisman watch. Probably about 5 minutes left in the show. It's going to be interesting to see how who's in second place mm-hmm. at that point. It's going to be interesting to see who that is.
So last night in town at the College Football Hall of Fame, all the awards, the big awards show last night at the College Football Hall of Fame, the SEC dominated the awards. Not a surprise. The Bednarik Award. Best defensive player of the year, Josh Allen of Kentucky. Boy, you think about, you know, Bud Dupree, now Josh Allen. Boy, Kentucky's been putting out some players, huh? The Doak Walker for best running back to Jonathan Taylor of Wisconsin. But then the rest of it looks like an SEC All-Star team. Fred Biletnikoff, best wide receiver. Jerry Jeudy of Alabama. Jim Thorpe, best defensive back. DeAndre Baker of Georgia. Outland Trophy, which is a big one. Alabama defensive tackle Quinnen Williams, who, remember that name, because depending on where the Falcons draft, we may be talking a lot about Quinnen Williams as a potential number one pick for the Atlanta Falcons. So, and Home Depot Coach of the Year was Brian Kelly. Okay. All right.
What?
Yeah, I know. Brian Kelly was the Home Depot Coach of the Year. All right.
You got a problem with
Notre
that?
Dame?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got a problem with that?
No, I'm just
Notre Dame coach. Mm-hmm. I ain't got nothing to say because I got a good friend of mine, Paul Grass Manis, who went to Notre Dame, and he'll be blowing up my one of my text messages, calling me all kind of means a hurtful name. I say anything about their coach. So congratulations to Coach Kelly.
That's exactly where I'm going to fall. Congratulations to Coach Kelly.
I'm not
going to say nothing more.
If you're listening, Grass, congratulations.
Yep. talking about college football after the awards night at the College Football Hall of Fame last night, looking forward to the Heisman tomorrow night, and, of course, the Army-Navy game and whatnot. Ken Wisenhunt out at Georgia Tech. He's taken his name out of the running for head coach Georgia Tech. And now, Hugh, all of the attention is suddenly shifted to a name that hadn't really been previously mentioned. We had heard, you know, like, for example, you know, some other names that were, you know, floated about in the initial run at Georgia Tech. Now it's shifted to a name that we didn't hear before, and that's Temple head coach Jeff Collins. Now Collins was grad assistant at Georgia Tech back in the day. He's been the head coach at Temple for a couple of years, had some success at Temple, and was the defensive coordinator for the Florida Gators, is considered an excellent, excellent recruiter, and suddenly he is not only in the mix, but if you believe the blogs and everything out there in the interwebs here, suddenly Jeff Collins' name has floated either at or even near the top. You know, so it'll be interesting to see, because one thing is true, Georgia Tech has got to make a quick move.
Can I go with my conspiracy theory?
Okay.
Some more. I think that Ken Whisenhunt probably was in strong consideration for the job, but I guess with the rigors of him being an NFL coach and trying to recruit at the same time, it probably was just not enough, or the money wasn't right. So that's why it took Georgia Tech so long to make this decision or make this announcement, because I think that it was his job to take, but something wasn't right and he decided not to take it.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been assistant coaches. You know, what are your responsibilities? You know, or maybe
he didn't want to keep Nate.
Yeah, maybe he didn't. And here's the problem, and there is a serious problem as we talk about college football ahead of the bowl season that has happened because. And I wonder if college football is going to revisit this. The early signing period that they envisioned was December 19, right week of Christmas, right, was supposed to be a date, Hugh, that allowed these coaches to sign a few players and take a little bit of the stress off the national signing day in February for guys that were already, you know, committed, strongly committed. They could sign them. They could get them in to begin workouts, and everybody seemed to be in favor of it. What they didn't understand, and last year was the first year of this thing, there have been two things that they did not figure would happen. Number one, it has become the National Signing Day. It's not just like they get 10% of their class. They get 90% of their class on December 19th. The second problem is it's so close to the end of the football season that you only have about 2 to maybe 3 weeks between the end of the season and this now new National Signing Day, December the 19th. If you're going to make a change at head coach, you've got to scramble to get a coach fast, because he's got to try to save the class that's already been recruited. Forget about giving him any time to try and go out and recruit some other guys that he might want to fit his program.
Yeah, you know what's funny, John? I didn't think that was that big of a deal. Granted, I've never been one of those guys that have been heavily recruited by a big-time school like that. But when Ryan Day took over for Ohio State, and I was basically of the mindset that there weren't going to be a lot of decommits. There were some decommits. That decommitted from Ohio State when he took over the job. So yeah, I think there is something to that. Coach got to get in and make sure that he steadies the ship, because you know a lot of these young men's fathers and mothers are in their ear, mm-hmm. and they're worried about the future of their young talent and whether or not coach is going to be there. The guy that promised them all this, that, and the other, is he going to be there, or how much the program's going to change when the new head coach comes in? So yeah, you got to come in and get in there as quickly as you possibly can.
Yeah, the only saving grace, Ryan Day was out there obviously recruiting for Ohio State. He was their lead recruiter, so he knows all these guys anyway. So I mean that's a help when you're bringing somebody else in from the outside who these players have never met in their entire life and have no idea what kind of offense he wants to run or what he wants to do and how they might be used. If you're thinking you're going to be a quarterback and suddenly he says, well, we need you a defensive back, and you're going, no, I want to be a running back. No, I see. So this is one of the problems here. If you're a tight end, you're usually just a tight end unless he says he needs you as a rush end. And you go, wait a second, I want to be a tight end. See, this is the problem. That's part of the issue that you have when you bring in a new coach and how he envisions the players in the class. So it's a difficult proposition. Now, as for a couple of coordinators out there, yes, Mel Tucker is leaving to go to Colorado, and yes, he's going to go immediately. He's not going to coach for Georgia Hugh anymore. He's going to go to Colorado. I have no problem with this. We talked about that yesterday, and Georgia's just going to have to fill the D.C. spot. You know, they may elevate their linebacker coach, Glenn Schumann. Kirby may go outside. If I'm a Georgia fan, I'm not overly concerned about the defensive coordinator situation. I think you'll be fine. If I'm Alabama, I'm certainly not overly concerned about losing Mike Locksley, because we have seen this 1,000 times over with Nick Saban, where he loses a coordinator or both coordinators. How many coordinators has Nick Saban been through at Alabama?
Oh, my God. In the last 4 or 5 years, a few. But this is just one more coordinator or old coach he used to have that he's just going to get a chance to beat when they try to coach against him.
Yeah, so and Mike Locksley is going to do the Kirby Smart. He's going to do the Jeremy Pruitt, where Kirby stayed through the playoffs and recruited for Georgia, where Jeremy Pruitt stayed through the playoffs and recruited for Tennessee. Locksley's going to stay through the playoffs and recruit for Maryland. And we wish Mike Locksley the best up at Maryland. His first head coaching stint at New Mexico was a disaster. But that's at New Mexico. And a lot of people are saying, the guy was like 1-15 and getting, at New Mexico. Why would you want to make him here? Look, that's at New Mexico. And that's no offense to Albuquerque, but that's not an easy program to get players to come to, okay? especially when you're a brand new coach. It's just not huge.
New Mexico, Albuquerque?
Yeah, it's just not. Hey, the facilities in New Mexico are, you know, they're
sketchy.
Yeah, they're. You know, I mean, I've been to Albuquerque. I love Albuquerque as a town. It's a fun town. But New Mexico's a tough place to recruit. So, I mean, you can't base what Loxley happened to him at New Mexico and say automatically he's not going to be any good at Maryland. I think that's a gigantic mistake. And remember now, Loxley's got all these kind of tentacles in this area because he's recruited the South for the past few years. That'll help Maryland. And that's a program that needs some good news. Man, is that a program. It is the morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dukes of Bell had a chance to have an in-depth interview with Arthur Blank. We had that interview talking about Atlanta United, his impression of the Falcons, and more. And we'll bring you the Dukes of Bell interview with Arthur Blank.
Friday, 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 Friday.
Talking all things Falcons with a Falcons Friday. Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is a Falcons Friday. It's also, give it credit where it's due. It's a five-stripe Friday. We all just kind of live anymore in Arthur Blank's world, and he kind of runs it. He had a big moment with Joseph Martinez being named as the league's MVP. Matter of fact, Joseph and Miggy won two in the voting this week. That was just kind of the beginning of the week for this Atlanta franchise, and tomorrow night they play in the championship game against Portland. Dukes of Bell had a chance to talk to the owner of Atlanta United and the Atlanta Falcons, Arthur Blank, and they began the interview by asking him what Mr. Blank's excitement level is for tomorrow night.
Well, it's probably fivefold what it was then. I mean, we've had an incredible year both on the pitch and, you know, in fan support, fan attendance. We hold records for the 7 most attended games in the history of Major League Soccer, and to think in our second year that we're not only in the playoffs but now playing for the Cup, I think is pretty incredible. It's a great tribute to our franchise, to the leaders in our franchise, the coach and coaching staff and our players, and really to the level of fan support has been unbelievable, and that makes a huge difference. Our home record is as good as it is for a lot of reasons. One of the major reasons is because the level of enthusiasm and energy and passion that our fans show whenever we're playing at home, as well as traveling.
Right.
They travel too, so it's great.
The boss is with us here, guys, talking about United playing in the MLS Cup. To have the MVP, the runner-up for the MVP, and then to play in the championship in just the second year, it's amazing, Arthur. How did you find Darren Eales? Because you're always finding good people for all your businesses. How did you find him?
Yeah, well, that's a really good question. We used a search firm, and it was interesting when we used the search firm, we made it clear to them because soccer, you know, unlike the NFL, which is primarily focused in the United States in terms of the teams, et cetera, we play in England and play in Mexico when the field is okay and elsewhere. But we wanted to make sure that we had a global span. So the firm we were working with had that ability to look at soccer executives throughout the world, and not just here in Major League, you know, United States or North America, if you will. And so Darren had background in the United States, although he's from England. He had gone to school here, played here. He played also in Europe as well. And his wife was from the United States, so that all worked in our favor. And I spent 3 hours with him during the first interview, and, you know, as I jokingly have said more than once, I said I had him back for a second interview because I couldn't understand half what he said the first time. But he was clearly our choice because he understood as the world is flat, not just because Thomas Friedman said that some years ago in his book, but also because the world is flatter today. Certainly the world of soccer is truly flat and truly global. That we wanted to have somebody who would look at resources on a worldwide basis and not be limited to the United States or Canada, for that matter. And Darren and Carlos Bocanegra and other folks on the soccer side have done an incredible job. And the people who've developed these fan relationships, so we brought them in early. They studied the market like Darren, understood why soccer was successful in Atlanta and the state of Georgia, and have been able to, to tap into that energy and passion.
Arthur Blank, our guest here on Dukes and Bell, owner of R, Atlanta United, playing for MLS Cup against Portland on Saturday night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Arthur, were you ever hesitant thinking about Mercedes-Benz being a soccer venue? You know, you look around the country and you have all these soccer-specific stadiums. And then when we told people, well, our soccer team is going to play in our, you know, football stadium, which is our multi-purpose, you know, stadium, a lot of people looked at us, but yet here we are leading the league in attendance.
Well, I think that the reason for that call is that we never built our stadium to be designed just for the NFL. We designed it to have FIFA standard soccer regulations in terms of the pitch size, in terms of the sight lines from the seats down to the pitch, in terms of all the things that would be important for the soccer fans. So when they came into the building, whether it be on a Saturday or Wednesday or Thursday night, whatever the case may be, is that they saw a soccer-specific stadium and not an NFL stadium that had been converted. So when you're in the stadium Saturday night, you would never know the Falcons ever play there, and vice versa. When we play there on Sundays, it feels like an NFL stadium, like a Falcons stadium. So we made a lot of investments, tens of millions of dollars in designing a stadium to make sure that we could accommodate FIFA qualified events like World Cup, which we will host in Atlanta, or some of the games will host in Atlanta. And we wanted to make sure we did it from the outset. And I think the fans understood that, and they saw that, and they appreciated that.
It is Arthur Blank, the boss, talking about United. We'll be talking football at the end of the season with Arthur, guys, about the Falcons. Today we're talking about soccer because the championship is here. And, Arthur, I mean, this is part of your legacy. We talked about this back earlier in the fall, you know, between Mercedes-Benz and now bringing soccer and also the international side to it, because when the World Cup comes to North America, I mean, we're going to have a game, and it's all because of your vision.
Well, I would say it's because of the collective vision. I wouldn't say it's just because of my vision, Mike, but I appreciate that. And I think, we've recruited some incredible, talented people on the soccer side, as we have, as you said earlier, in all of our businesses, and they've done a great job. They've brought in people that were equal to them, we gave them enough time so they could be thoughtful about their decision making, do the research, be in touch with our fans, who really are the owners of this franchise. I mean, I'm the steward for them. That's true with the Falcons. It's certainly true with Atlanta United. And they know we're making investments in everything that can make a difference, both in terms of their experience, whether it be food and beverage or how the stadium feels to them when they're in it, or the quality of the coaching staff, the quality of the players, the investments that we make in those players, et cetera. And so, fans, they are brilliant. They understand that we have set no limits in terms of the successes, and we've set no limits in terms of the investments we've made to be able to achieve the successes that we have. The key now is to build it so it's a sustainable winning organization over a long period of time. It's a great start.
No doubt. Year two, we're playing in the MLS Cup, and, we're going to have Alexi Lawless on the show a little bit later, Arthur, and, he's called us now the destination, and we are the place where everybody wants to be and come as far as soccer in the United States. I do want to ask you, because I know you're involved in so many different things, but these rumors that came out earlier in the week about the Premier League, are you at all interested in ownership elsewhere?
No, we're not. I mean, we think there's a lot of opportunities to expand the Atlanta United brand, both in Atlanta and for the league and for soccer throughout North America. We're exploring a number of those things, and that makes a lot more sense to us.
What about buying a franchise in the south of France, or then we can all win?
Mike, you're assuming that you'd be over there. That's a really big jump of faith. I don't know. Yeah,
just throwing it out.
How proud are you of Joseph Martinez, who wins the MVP for MLS?
Well, I'm very proud of Joseph. He's he's a great young player. He's a fine young man. He comes from a great family. He was, as you saw, he was here the other day. When he was speaking in Spanish, he got very emotional talking about his family, talking about seeing his grandfather there and his grandmother there and his aunt and baby and what have you. But I think and I said it to Joseph earlier, and Joseph would be the first to say it, is that his getting that recognition is a great recognition for the entire team, because the reason he's MVP is because he's surrounded by a great group of players that all play their role. And he has a role, obviously, as well as a striker, and has performed at a very high level. But without their, you know, their surrounding him, he would not have the success that he's had. And that's a tribute to our coaching staff as well. You know, the best thing that a coaching staff can do is to put round blocks and round holes and square pegs and square holes. And I think that they've identified the talents of all of the players on our soccer team and have put them in the best positions to win, both individually in the case of Joseph and in terms of the team, in terms of Joseph and Miggy and others. So I'm very proud of him personally, but I'm really proud of us as an organization having the number one and number two, folks that really competed for that award this year.
So who's going to swing the hammer for the Golden Spike, Arthur? Are you going to take care of that business on Saturday?
I don't know. That's not my decision. I'm only the owner. I don't make those decisions. people that are smarter than me make those decisions.
All right.
I'm happy to support them in whatever they want to do.
Yeah, and so we'll see about that, but let's worry less about who's swinging the hammer for the Golden Spike. Let's who's holding the trophy at the end of all of it tomorrow night. By the way, Dukes and Bell are going to be at Twin Peaks and Buckhead today from 2 to 7, so a great way to start your weekend with Dukes and Bell at Twin Peaks in Buckhead from 2 to 7, and a great interview. And Arthur Blank having a little bit of fun, and he should have. He has done a remarkable job, Hugh, with this franchise. What a story they have been in just 2 years. Just
yeah,
amazing.
Man, two years, and he's already here. It's an exciting time, man. So, I mean, really, I know a lot of people feel that we're going to win, but it's a win-win regardless. Two seasons in and to be in the position that you're in, that's pretty impressive. And the future looks even brighter. I know that Tata Martino's leaving. Miguel Almiron is probably going to be out of here as well. But the season, it just looks like the sky's the limit at this point.
Yeah, I mean, for somebody who's followed Atlanta soccer like I have throughout my career, to think about 6,000 people at Fulton County Stadium to watch the Atlanta Chiefs, and I love that team. Or to be at DeKalb Memorial Stadium for the Georgia Generals, if you're a soccer fan, old school, or and what the Silverbacks were able to do. And the Silverbacks did great things out there. I mean, Silverback Park was a hopping place. It was really well done. And they were a successful franchise. Never led me to believe that you could have an MLS franchise sell out every single game the way they have and to be as popular and successful as they've been this fast. All right, we venture on this Falcons Friday, Five Stripe Friday, into that area of the show known as Hugh's World.
Yes, where I get to talk about some stuff that I got on my mind. Unfinished thoughts inside of Hugh's World. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Is it Friday already?
Friday.
The work weekends, and our Falcons coverage goes into overdrive. It's Falcons Friday.
CGIF.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
Hugh's World has been brought to you by Camus. Camus, the game day cognac. Because every day is game day.
You know what it is, Daryl. You know what, John Freak, I gotta say, I'm really starting to like this segment because this really lets me let the listeners get into the way that I think about things because I can talk about a bunch of different things all at one time because this is how my mind works. But first, I want to give a shout out to the man that sent me the Marvel Avengers 4 trailer. Got his name already. I thought I had it pulled up right here. Didn't have it. But he sent me the trailer for Marvel's Avengers 4.
Uh-huh.
Kurt Wall. Kurt, my man Kurt sent it to me this morning because it dropped this morning, John. It is bananas. If you watch this trailer, and I retweeted on my Instagram, no, Twitter feed at BigHugh53. I retweeted that. It's pretty dope. It's pretty dope. So we're all excited about that. But John Freaky, got to get back on you a little bit, man. John, you got to test the waters every now and then in your relationship, man. I know you're talking about your wife wants you to go shopping and everything, but she gave you an out. And the best way you can handle those outs, John, is just, listen here. I've been working all week. And, you got to put a little bit of bass in your voice because when you put that bass in your voice and that bravado, that lets her know you about that business, you about that life. Man, listen, real estate maven, I'm tired. And I don't feel like looking for you. You're gonna get your pants.
It was all right. Look,
no, I'm just trying to help you out, John.
My adorable, wonderful wife. All she
did
was
don't try to sugarcoat it, John. Listen, if you're gonna go down this slow with me, just let me have this, dog. You ain't gotta say nothing. I got this. Just say, listen, I'm tired. I don't feel like going out to the mall this week. I don't feel like dealing with that traffic. So, you know, just go on by yourself. You'll be all right. Take the credit card. Yes, Daryl.
Mr. Douglas, may I ask you a question?
Yes.
What is your relationship status currently?
What does that have to do with anything?
It has a lot to do with what I'm asking. Wait, can I ask you a question?
Okay, before I answer it, I'm going to ask you a question.
Yes.
How many friends do you know that aren't in relationships that still give out relationship advice?
Mm.
That would be me.
I'm just asking you.
That would be me. I don't need to be in a relationship to give out relationship advice.
So this means that you're single?
Do as I say, not as I do.
Does this mean that you're single?
Yes.
All right. All right.
But that is neither
John,
here
don't
nor
listen
there.
To this.
John, trust me on this. Test those boundaries, man. You got to live life a little bit. Test those boundaries.
John. You enjoy sleeping next to whom you're sleeping next to.
Listen, test those boundaries, man.
John,
test those boundaries.
Let me ask you this. You don't have any golf clubs or baseball bats at home, do you?
She plays golf.
Yeah,
she plays golf. She's actually pretty good.
Don't listen to them, man.
And she's got her own money.
I changed my opinion. You better go to the mall then.
Well, I'm going to go to the mall. Yeah, of course I am.
Oh, John. You...
Well, quit complaining about it then.
There's that then.
I hate going to the ball.
I do too.
I hate shopping.
Did y'all see this Amazon story about the Amazon customers that they got 54 workers for Amazon got sick in their facility, in their warehouse, because you know Amazon, you get everything off Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the automated workers punctured a can of bear repellent. And it got everybody sick. But that was not, Wendy's looking like, yeah, she saw that story. Wendy, that was not what caught my eye about this story. What caught my eye about this story was the fact that this ain't the first time that this has happened. Like, this kind of always happens
mm-hmm.
at Amazon.
Yes. And they have
with robots, right?
Yes.
Oh.
And they haven't fixed this problem yet, which is an issue. I think that's an issue at Amazon, which I thought was kind of crazy. Oh, yeah, and another thing I want to give a shout out. Tyler Perry. That's why this is, you know, unfinished thoughts with Hugh Douglas. I want to give a shout out to Tyler Perry because he did the same thing that the owner for the New Orleans Saints did yesterday. He went to a Walmart in town, and I forgot which one it was, but he paid for their layaway. It was like $434,000 in layaway. So he did that. It was two Walmarts, as a matter of fact.
Two different locations.
A Walmart's that he did. So I want to give him a shout out because I was like, you know, I can't give the Saints a shout out and don't give my man Madea a shout out because that was pretty cool. And another thing I wanted
is
to talk about.
But real quick, is it now a thing where you go ahead and put something on layaway at Walmart and hope you get lucky?
Yes.
You get the layaway lottery.
But you have to do it. You got to do it in strategic locations, which I haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah, he indicated that the layaways had to be done by 9:30 yesterday.
Oh.
And so by the time the announcement got out, it was in the afternoon. So you couldn't just run.
Yeah, you couldn't just do that. So, yeah, but shout out to Tyler Perry. I want to give him a shout out for that, man, because that was pretty cool. And he's in the A. And I know we've talked about it a little bit, the whole Kevin Durant, LeBron James thing. And how LeBron James, as a man, he chose not to respond to what Kevin Durant said. And basically, Kevin Durant, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he basically said this. So much hype comes from being around LeBron from other people, Durant said.
Mm-hmm.
He has so many fanboys in the media, even the beat writers just fawn over him. I'm like, we're playing basketball here. It's not even about basketball at certain points. So I get why anyone wouldn't want to be in the environment because it's toxic. And when I read this, the word that I focused on was the word toxic. And I know that Kevin Durant was probably trying to give his version of why he probably wouldn't want to play with LeBron James and everything like that. And I understand that, AT, if I'm not mistaken, they're pretty good friends. They're really good friends. But this is where it gets a little strange, is because I consider me and Daryl pretty cool. I consider me and you pretty cool. But if I use the word toxic to describe anything that has anything to do with our interaction, I would think that you would immediately feel some kind of way because that word toxic is like it carries negative connotations.
But LeBron checked it properly because he said I didn't hear the complete
context. You're right. And he chose not, and that's what I was applauding for that. But at the same time, Daryl, you have to admit that if you hear anything associated with toxic, if I'm talking about you and you say, yeah, he said toxic, regardless of how I said it, Well, you're going to be looking at me like, what the hell you mean, toxic? Well,
I am going to pick up a phone.
Yes.
Or I'm probably going to, if I, because I get to see you.
Yes.
I'll be like, hey, man, what's up with that? You know I'm going to ask you that.
Yes,
too.
But.
And you would do the same.
Yes, but the problem, this is the problem. If I'm talking about you and say, if we've had a difference of opinion at this job. We've had those.
Plenty.
Yes, but I'm never, you're funny, but I'm never going to use the word toxic in describing our relationship. I would probably use the word difficult. Trying at
Hold on, I'm not difficult. Yeah, bro. You
there we go.
I was just saying.
Are
if, I was,
you ready?
If we're using words,
I got the foreign object over you.
If I was using words to describe it, I would use those. Those are not as bad as toxic as he picks up a lead pipe. That is not cool. I didn't mean it in a derogatory way. I'm just saying.
You are the toxic Avenger.
No, but it's just like it's certain words that you do not use to describe certain relationships. You can say, hey, man, you know what? They're cool people. And sometimes, you know, we get into it a little bit. But that's cool. And so that makes it sound like, hey, it's okay to have a difference of opinion every time. But when you use the word toxic about one of your friends, that's when it becomes a little strange because it's like, damn, no, why? Toxic?
Did he just pick the wrong word? Is that what he did?
No, just do as your parents once told you. If you don't have anything good to say
about
someone,
don't say nothing.
Don't say nothing.
I gotcha.
Yeah, that might be the case too, but you know, toxic just that word just has all kind of negative connotations, man. That's just ridiculous. And that's about it. That's all I got for
you. Hey, you didn't mention Kevin Hart?
What'd he do?
Oh, never mind. You didn't even hear the story.
What happened with Kevin Hart?
Oh
no, the Oscars, right?
Right.
I forgot. AT, you know that's how my mind works. I forgot he's hosting the Oscars.
Well, no, he's not.
Wait a minute.
He's out.
We were just talking about that yesterday.
No, yes, he's out.
What did he do? Why?
They found old tweets that he was slamming gays with. And
oh, yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, and they forced him out fast.
Oh, yeah, you can't do that.
They mined his social media, found a few tweets where he's slamming gay people, and they said, that's that. You're gone.
Well, here's the thing. And Kevin was a ready host for this. He really wanted to do
this. Yeah, but...
And now, who are you going to get?
You know what? That was the thing, because that was the conversation that we were having, was the fact that nobody wanted to do it, so Kevin Hart was going to do it. Because didn't he do it before?
Oh, he had not.
He had did this before, but he's hosted on the grand stage before.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, yeah.
MTV Awards and stuff like that, he's done those before, but not the Oscars.
He dumb. Yeah.
Well, this is what's going to be interesting in my
opinion.
Home,
nah.
What's going to be the backlash for his career? Because now that this has become a topic for him, you wonder if this is going to further mess up his career.
Okay, and so were they? I guess it doesn't really matter because they were derogatory. But I will say this: Dave Chappelle in one of his new stand-ups, he talks about a bunch of like blue topics, and some of these topics are the Me Too topics.
Yeah.
And when I watched that, some of them was kind of cringeworthy, but it didn't seem like I haven't heard any backlash from that.
Is he hosting the Oscars?
No, he's not.
Okay.
Touche, Daryl. Prime example of why we get along as well as we do.
You know what? Keep trying me here.
I'm
not LeBron.
I was just saying, that's the reason why we get along as well as we do.
Not LeBron.
You point out something that I might have missed.
Who's going to win the big games tomorrow? Who's going to win Army-Navy? Who's going to win the Heisman? Who's going to win the Falcons? Atlanta United, we're going to tell you next. Falcons Friday continues. A reminder, Bud Light countdown to kickoff 2 hours before the Falcons and Packers at 11 a.m. with Mike and Hugh. Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager. Who's going to win? Our predictions around the corner on Sports Radio 92 and The Game.